Well, thank you for everyone for showing up. I know there's so many interesting sessions everywhere, so I'm pleased to have some people here. I'm going to talk about my thesis research, and it was a qualitative study done in Thailand, and I entitled "The Silencing of Health Needs: Masculinity and Health Behavior in Rural Thailand." During my research project, my faculty advisor, Sarah Corinne, continually asked me, what am I really trying to tell with this research project? What is the story of men's health in Thailand? So I wanted to begin this presentation with a story. At night, sitting around in a wooden stilt house with friends, family members, and villagers, I watched the community support and care for a woman dying of cancer. Women took turns massaging and caring for the dying woman. The house was filled with over 40 women and children, but only two men. The first man, the husband of the woman, sat leaning against the wall of the house. The second man, Manop, moved next to the dying woman and helped her lift her leg and delicately placed his hand in hers. Manop is HIV positive and confided in me that he had been deathly sick himself with AIDS and knew what it felt like to be in pain and know you are dying. This is part of the story of men's health in Thailand. Men's health needs go unspoken literally and figuratively by both the men in the community, the health service providers. In this household with its hidden social structure of care, the only man who was there to support the dying woman was Manop, who is reminded to think about his health and his mortality at 7 p.m. every day when he takes his ARVs. Men without that reminder refuse to talk about health. I first met Manop at the district hospital, where a female friend of his asked me why I was doing a study on men's health. It is the women who know about health. If you want to know about health in Thailand, you should ask us. So what if you want to know about men's health? I have no disclosures. For the presentation, I'm going to first go over my research question, the background, the methods, results, and implications. I'm going to skip the next steps for time. So my research questions were, how do rural Thai men perceive healthcare? How do rural Thai men access healthcare services? And what are rural Thai men's health behaviors? Real quick, the background for why I chose Thailand, the Nang Rang district, as well as men. As some of you might know, Thailand has a universal health coverage scheme, which offers free health care to all Thais. So lots of the enabling factors are already there. Very good access to the primary care units. Thailand has 76 provinces, which can be kind of considered states. And then within those 76 provinces, there are districts. And there's a district hospital in each district. And then there's sub-districts within that district. And each sub-district has a primary care unit as well. So it's very accessible to reach those clinics. Also, Thailand is used as a success case for developing countries because of achieving the Millennium Development Goals and setting up its own Millennium Development Plus targets. Thailand's had great successes in reducing the prevalence of HIV, improving maternal health, reducing maternal and infant mortality, and family planning. However, Thailand has not had the same success in regards to men's health. Thai men continually have high rates of health risky health behavior related to smoking, drinking, and accidents, and contribute to the gender difference in mortality, with men dying 5 years sooner, or 5.5 years sooner than women. And in the U.S., men die 6 years sooner. I spent 5 years in Thailand previously, so that was also why I chose it. I speak Thai, and I've seen many of my Thai male friends continually not seek care and die much younger than they need to. I chose the Nang Rang district because it is representative of a semi-rural area in the northeast of Thailand, which has the worst health outcomes of all of Thailand. And I chose men because there's sparse research. Well, one, I'm a man, so I'm very interested in that. But two, sparse research on men's health and access to health care. There's very sparse research in developing countries. There's sparse research in developed countries, but especially developing countries. Some studies have shown that there's been less utilization of health services among men, even though there's much more injuries. And like nearly every country, as I said already, Thailand has, males have a higher mortality rate. And also, uniquely about Thailand is there's this also this role of the head of the family. It's kind of hierarchical and a little patriarchal. So the men are really still considered the head of the family and also the breadwinners to feed and provide for the family. So if the men are dying younger, then what impact does this have on the family and the women and the kids? So to answer these questions, I needed to have different perspectives. So the first perspective I needed was the Thai rural men themselves. The second perspective I needed was the service providers. And in Thailand, there's three different health institutions. There's private, there's public, and there's traditional. So I kind of went through each one of those. And then to really know the truth, you need to talk to the women. So I also asked the Thai rural men's partners as well. I decided to use qualitative methods because it was an exploratory research topic. I wanted to capture individual participants' accounts of their own perceptions of health, as well as their ideas of broader social issues that shape their understanding of health. And I wanted to tell the story from voices of people that rarely get heard. Nang Norong District has 15 sub-districts. I looked at four factors in the selection of four sub-districts for the study, as you can see on this chart. If I were to do it again, I might select it upon convenience to my house, because all these were very far away. But that's another study. So the methods I chose were 30 in-depth interviews. And I looked at five villagers from each target village, and then also the health service providers. I then conducted six focus group discussions as well. I want to talk just briefly, I think lots of times during studies this isn't talked about. I want to say what worked well and what was challenging. What worked really well was asking men about their last visit to the doctor, the PCU, or the clinic, because they would remember that. They could really tell me why they went, why they didn't want to go, how long it took them to decide to go, who took them there, etc. Looking at several different perspectives really gave you the actual truth of what was really happening in the landscape of men's health. Talking to older men, they're much more concerned about the health. They're getting elderly age, they've had children, family. It's a little bit easier to talk to them. And then going to the house for interviews. Now, what was really challenging was talking with young men. And it's probably any subject. But then you add health into it. And this is my next point. We're trying to talk about health for an extended period of time with men is very difficult. One of my participants said that Lurung Sukapat, Mami Lurung Chat, which means that the topic of health has no flavor. And so this is kind of what I really encountered. This is kind of the epidemiological picture of Nang Rung. And, that's what it is. So I also, this is actually some data from, I went in my literature review, there's very little information about health utilization divided by sex. So I couldn't just look up how many males went versus how many females went up. So I directly went to the Nang Rung District Hospital, and I was able to access their record of payment records to see who was there or not. So this number that you can't actually see is 200,000. So actually 250,000. So from January 2009 to June 2009, Nang Rung Hospital saw 250,000 patients. Of those, 50,000 were male and 200,000 were female. So it's four times more female patients than male patients. And I also looked at the primary care unit records, which weren't electronic because they just switched systems. So I actually had to go through it by the log. And I saw almost the exact same thing. So as far as results go, I analyzed the interviews using descriptive content analysis. And there are five major themes that kept on reoccurring. And the results provide an understanding of some of the barriers rural Thai male face in seeking health care. Barriers from high opportunity costs, lack of education around preventative care, crisis-driven care-seeking behavior, social structures that reinforce males not presenting health symptoms, and minimal health communication among men. All these decrease males' involvement in the healthcare system. Oh, it's kind of weird, my thing seems to be taking over the words, but we'll deal with that. So this is talking about the opportunity costs. And I'll read one quote over here that says, if I find out that I'm sick or need to stay at the hospital, I will lose more than one day of work and it'll make it difficult to eat. So although there's free care, there's other opportunity costs that impact men, especially related to their work life. Also, it costs about 200 baht and takes all day to get to the district hospital. So there's also these, you lose a whole day of work. And lots of times they say, because I'm the head of family, I can't afford to go to the hospital because I can't not work for this day. And then just the pictures below are kind of representative of what's kind of happening in the public district hospital. This sign here is a private clinic and it has hours that are open from 7, 8:30 a.m. 12 to 1 p.m., and then from 4:30 to 7 p.m. in the evening. And it's because in the public district hospital of Nang Rung, all but one of the physicians have their own private clinics. So they're rushing back and forth, too, between these clinics and between the hospitals. So it really creates this kind of long waits at the hospital. They're one of the reasons. I also really want to highlight this theme, which is crisis-driven care-seeking behavior. And it's very representative of kind of what's going on with Tyne Hills, especially. And one of the things, like, presenting symptoms seen as weakness. So I endure it until I can't endure it anymore, and then I go seek care. Or why would I do anything now when I'm sick? I go get treated. Until then, I live my life. And coming from a public health background, this lack of preventative care really kind of concerns me. So I want to highlight some other quotes from this as well. I don't do any preventative activities. Men, we don't do any health prevention except sometimes when it comes to wearing condoms. Yang my boy, yang my raksa, which is really representative of the belief that I'm not sick right now, I don't need to seek care. And here's some more. First, I endure. I endure it until I can't endure it anymore, and then I go. Unless I can't stand it, I won't go to the hospital. And then I also want to quote from a health administrator who I was working with. So not so much just only farmers, but also men in general. I had the knowledge, and I still waited until one night when I was so sick I just couldn't sleep or move anymore before I went to the hospital. So only when there are no options available, men cannot work or the pain is unbearable, did men decide to go to the healthcare system. The only examples I saw of health behavior change were from some type of catalytic event or a horrible accident, and sometimes even that was not enough. All these barriers described by the participants are interrelated and reinforce each other. For example, the lack of health discourse makes it non-normative to display or discuss health symptoms, thereby hiding their symptoms until they become acute and are forced to seek care. And then this kind of contributes too. So men don't see other men seeking healthcare or discussing it. So then there's this idea that health becomes a woman's issue. So over here we actually have health behavior strains and social structures where only women go to health activities. I'll get the information from my wife. Down here it talks about health discourse. So we never talk about health when we are in groups. It is not a fun subject. I get my health information through hearing about like HIV before I didn't know anything about it. The doctor will ask me questions, but I don't ask him questions. So this is very lack of this kind of dialogue among men. So I also want to talk a little bit about the convergent themes that you see from the health provider's perspective. And I kind of see this as a perpetuating a downward spiral of kind of reinforcement of these themes. So men are often brought to the PCU by the women. The majority of the time that male seeks care at the primary care unit, their mother or wife take them there. This one's kind of neat, where men rarely participate in community health activities. In the health activities, men will help them set up, bring out the chairs and tables, and then leave. So it's this idea of a male role is to, you know, set up the activity, and then it's time for the women come to hear about health and about the topic there. So the health service provider's expectations of men, lack of participation in the healthcare system, perpetuates and reinforces these cultural norms. Men are meeting and exceeding these expectations that are placed on them by their peers, their community, and health service providers by not showing up to the annual checkups in the village, not participating in health activities, not presenting health systems, and not seeking care until the symptoms are acute. But there's a way to reverse the current trends that I was seeing. And so I just want to list a few of the policy implications from the study results. And one thing, I went at the very beginning of the study, I went to the health administrative office and I asked them if they had any specific health problems targeting men. And they kind of looked at me surprised and they said, no. And so I think that's one of the first things we can really work on is kind of health activities that are specifically designed to target men. I also think in Thailand, it's very important to link health promotion with the role of the head of the family. Men have this responsibility that they really feel dearly, and I heard it in almost every one of my interviews about the huonakapko, I'm the head of the family. And they would use that excuse of not seeking health care because they don't have time. And it seems paradoxical. So there needs to be this link there. Also, mandatory annual checkups for whole villages, health communication and education emphasis on money saved from treatment. I saw one of my participants spent over 10 years of his annual salary on medical costs, so now he's in great debt and has kind of totally lost any belief in the healthcare structure system there. So, if you can emphasize the idea of prevention, preventative care, and how much money that can save, I think men would be more willing to listen. Time in. Four men support groups around different topics. When you talk about health, there's no flavor. So maybe find other ways to bring that into discussion. Also, health promotion and education, the importance of health prevention activities. I mean, that's just really, really, really critical. I'm going to skip the further research. And I just kind of want to conclude that what I saw during this study is that a health program targeting Thai women, a health workforce composed mostly of women, so the village health volunteers are the largest presence in the communities, is 70% women, coupled with a masculine perspective that seeking care is a sign of vulnerability, all contribute to the further alienation of Thai rural men from seeking care. And in my personal opinion, I don't think that is limited in Nang Rang, Thailand. In the bigger picture of global men's health, the continued neglect of research around men's health in the developing world leads to a lack of general knowledge about why men tend to seek healthcare less and live shorter lives. This leaves service providers with little understanding on how they address these issues. The deficiency in research, men's own lack of engagement in the health system, and the social cultural impact of male gender roles are globally silencing men's health needs. So I think it's an area that we really need to start working on. And that's my presentation.
Any questions for Dawn? You stand up.
Men are involved in particular risk behaviors around sexual activity, alcohol, tobacco. And if you talk specifically about those topics, is there a greater likelihood that men will be engaged in talking about drinking or tobacco use rather than talking about health or health promotion activities more broadly?
Yeah. Sear. Yeah, it is. It's interesting in Thailand because of there's such a huge campaign on HIV prevention and condoms use that the second they see a health service provider coming in to do an interview with them, they immediately think about sexual risky behavior and condom use. So they are definitely willing to talk about that risky behavior. As far as drinking, they were really open to that subject. It was really unbelievable. Nearly everyone said that they drank and would either don't want to quit drinking or would continue to drink. So I think that there is definitely ways to engage the men in greater dialogue using, discussing, like, what are their drinking habits, how they feel about drinking, and talking about sex. I think that's definitely a possibility. And during my interviews, that's a lot how I got a lot of the information was talking about that, not so much in what kind of health activities you want to do. And because when you did that, you got this awesomely uncomfortable silence for a really long time.